Well, let us worship God. Let us sing to God's glory in Psalm number 66. Psalm number 66 and verses 1 to 6. Five stanzas. Let us read just a few verses at the beginning of Romans chapter 9, Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 9 and the opening verses only. And then in the main reading we shall read further in Romans. Romans chapter 9 and at verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we sing the Psalms, we are struck not only by the personal devotion of the psalmist himself, but of the national sentiments expressed in the psalms, and how many of these psalms, such as the one that we have been singing already this evening, reminding us that the psalmists were conscious that they belonged to a special community. And as the psalmist records his own experience and the experience of Israel in past history, He is conscious that, in a sense, the whole community was there at the time of the Exodus deliverance, passing through the waters. And there we were, and we were glad to be there. And we find the Apostle Paul in the verses that we've been reading and in other places also expressing his consciousness of being an Israelite, a Jew, and belonging to a specially privileged, dignified people, a sinful people, but nonetheless God's people, in a peculiar sense that no other nation has ever been nor ever will be. And we pray that as we sing these psalms, that we would be conscious that whilst they belong to the ancient Hebrews, and they express the Hebrew way of writing and writing poetry and singing with all the peculiarities of their national idiom, yet they speak to us today concerning the glorious reality of a common spiritual experience of God, of the grace of God, and of the consciousness that God is glorious, that he is our God. And so as we gather here this evening, we would be praying our Heavenly Father that we would not simply be gathered as individuals and in the isolation of our own innermost being, worshiping the Lord, but conscious that we belong to a family, to a fellowship, to a people whose God is the Lord, a people who have been called by his name, to bear his name, a people who have been given great privileges and corresponding responsibilities and burdens for one another and for a lost world which does not know the God of Scripture. As we would seek now to study that scripture that makes us wise unto salvation, we pray that we would always be submissive to its leading, to its general applications and implications, that we would be sensitive to the directiveness and the specific issues that are raised in the scriptures, the peculiar commandments that tell us to do this or not to do that. And in these specific commands, it is always right to obey and always wrong to disobey. And so we give thanks, our gracious Father, that the Holy Spirit is given to us to illuminate our minds, to see Christ Jesus as the focal point of the Scripture, the purpose of the prophecies, and the great central piece of so great a salvation. And we are conscious, Lord, that we need continually to be reminded also that God, who spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, the one through whom he made the world, the one who is the very exact express image of his person, the one who by himself, all by himself, has purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Lord, we cannot express fully what the gospel means. We cannot understand fully the dimensions and the heights and the magnitudes that are contained in the gospel. We hardly know what it means when we read that God so loved the world. And we hardly know what it means when we read that Christ died for our sins. And we hardly know the full meaning of God's pronouncement of the forgiveness of all sins, justification to believers who believe in Christ Jesus, justified simply by trusting, believing, and committing ourselves to him, to his precious work, and to his ongoing word. So we pray the blessing of God upon our gathering here this evening. We remember again those that are not with us, those who for a variety of reasons, are not present with us. Some of these reasons may be biblically valid. We think of some who perhaps are laid aside in sickness, some perhaps afraid of catching a sickness. But we do remember them. And those who are listening in on the telephone now, and those who will listen in later on in coming days from the web. And so we pray that these poor services would be of value to God's people and perhaps fall into the ears and into the hearts of those who have hitherto been careless, and that they would be arrested, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And so our whole prayer and desire, Lord, is that it would be the Word of God and the Word of God only that is proclaimed. But we remember all who preach the gospel, not only for ourselves, but we know that there are others who are this very moment perhaps in different parts of Australia, and they are standing in pulpits addressing fellow sinners and speaking words of gospel grace and glory. And we pray the blessing of God upon them, that their mouths, that all our mouths would be opened to speak the word, to preach Christ plainly as we ought to speak. And so, our Father in heaven, we commit ourselves to the God of all grace. We have no strength, we have no wisdom, we have no righteousness, we have no abilities, we have no ability to understand, believe, and follow and love the Lord. But all these things are promised in the gospel. He gives more grace. So heal us and help us, O God, as once again we try in this hallowed hour to worship in the courts of thy house. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read further in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read through this. Chapter 10 in Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise: Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And so on. Amen. And again, we remind you of these notices. The deacons, please remember that we're having a meeting on Tuesday. Same place and same time, Lindfield at 5:45. And Wednesday, of course, our midweek studies in the Scriptures. Next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. or 6 p.m. as usual. And always we are glad to see visitors, and we do welcome you in the name of the Lord. And also visitors who perhaps are listening in, I have reason to believe that folks that I've never met have been listening in from time to time, and we get encouraging reports from people in different parts of the world. So we are not discouraged in the ministry. We must never be so. The word of God is never bound. So we are glad to welcome all who hear the word. And we take care of each other, of course, reminding each other for health care. We must look after one another. And the offering will now be received. Come now to the Psalm 66 once again, and from verse number 7 to verse 14, five stanzas we sing to God's praise and glory.